soon. We go back to the year 1936, January, before you and I were born. January 8, 1936. When I went to see the Archbishop, I told him that Jesus was asking that I pray for God's mercy upon the world and that there be a religious congregation which would entreat the mercy of God for the world. I asked his permission for all the Lord Jesus was demanding of me, a new congregation. No? The Archbishop answered me in these words, "As for your for prayer, I give my permission and even encourage you, sister, to pray as much as possible for the world and to beg God's mercy. As mercy is what we all need, and I presume that your confessor certainly does not forbid you to pray for this intention. But as regards this congregation, wait a while, so that all things may arrange themselves more favorably. This thing is good in itself, but there is no need to hurry. If it is God's will, it will be done, whether it be a little sooner or a little later. Why shouldn't it be? There are so many different kinds of congregations. This one too will come to be, if God so wills, be completely at peace. The Lord Jesus can do all things. Strive for a close union with God and do not lose heart." These words fill me with great joy. So she's very wearing, when can you start a new congregation? When I left the Archbishop's house, I heard the following words in my soul. "To confirm the Spirit, I speak through my representatives in accordance with what I demand of you. But know that this will not always be so. They will oppose you in many things, and through this, my grace will be manifest in you, and it will be evidence that this matter is my doing. But as for you, fear nothing. I'm always with you. And know this too, my daughter. All creatures, whether they know it or not, and whether they want it or not, always fulfill my will." So God is telling her that it's important the will of God be fulfilled. So no matter what, sometimes even the superior say no, just give her the chance to offer the suffering. "Once I certainly saw Jesus in great majesty, and he spoke these words to me, 'My daughter, if you wish, I will this instant create a new world, more beautiful than this one, and you will live there for the rest of your life.' I answered, 'I don't want any worlds. I want you, Jesus. I want to love you with the same love that you have for me.'" So Jesus loves us so much, we have to ask whether we love Jesus the same way. This is always a question. We don't find Jesus loves you more because you think Jesus loves the others more than you. So you think you are the last one to be loved. You know, when a father has so many children, 1, 2, 3, 4, da da da, then you presume you're the middle. Of course, you think, oh, the older brother, the older sister, parents, or the last one, you are the middle. So you don't know where to go. You're lost. That's human. "I beg you for only one thing, to make my heart capable of loving you." We can ask the same thing. Only one thing that we do. With love, to do His will. With joy, with courage. "I'm very much surprised at your offer, my Jesus. What are those words to me? Even if you gave me 1,000 of them, what are they to me? You know very well, Jesus, that my heart is dying for longing for you. Everything that is not you is nothing to me. At that moment, I could no longer see anything. But a strange force took me over my soul. A strange fire sprang up in my heart, and I entered into a kind of agony for him. Then I heard these words, "With no other soul do I unite myself as closely and in such a way as I do with you." And this because of the deep humility and ardent love which you have for me. So we have to do the same thing as Faustina is doing for Jesus, because deep humility and ardent love for Jesus. On one occasion, I heard these words within me: "Every moment of your heart is known to me. Know, my daughter, that one glance of yours directed at someone else would wound me more than many sins committed by any person." So Jesus wants a particular love from us. If you share all this stuff for all the people, that, you know, the particular love is only for Jesus. Love casts out fear. Since I came to love God with my whole being, with all the strength of my heart, fear has left me. Even if I were to hear the most terrifying things about God's justice, I would not fear him at all, because I have come to know him well. God is love, and his spirit is peace. I see now that my deeds, which have flowed from love, are more perfect than those which I have done out of fear. Because you do things either out of love or out of fear. You're afraid to be revenged by God, and then you do something good. That's minimum. But when you do things just because Jesus loved, and you do the same thing for others, that's true love. I've given myself over to him, to his holy will. Let him do with me as he wishes, and I will still love him. When I receive Holy Communion, I entreat and beg the Savior to heal my tongue, that I may never fail enough of labor. I say mostly because so many people, all the iPhone, that usually you either your tongue, your words. No, that's we need to have time for Jesus also. Jesus, you know how ardently I decide to hide so that no one may know me but your sweetest heart. I want to be a tiny violet, hidden in the grass, unknown in a magnificent and closed garden in which beautiful lilies and roses grow. The beautiful rose and the lovely lily can be seen from afar, but in order to see a little violet, one has to bend low. One only its scent gives it away. So the lily, the violet, the little purple small flowers underneath amid the grass. That's really all the violet. Nobody knows us, see us, only God. But we give the great fragrance. Oh, how happy I am to be able to hide myself in this way. Oh, my divine bridegroom, the flower of my heart and the center of my pure love are for you. My soul has drowned itself in you, eternal God. From the moment when you yourself drew me to yourself, oh my Jesus, the more I have longed you, the more ardently I have desired you. So when you say we love Jesus, at least you have to know him first, no? They say we don't know him much. When you come into the before the Blessed Sacrament, you keep a little bit distance? Do you feel you are so closely united with the Lord? One mind, one heart. That's what Jesus asks us. One mind, one heart. I learned in the heart of Jesus that in heaven itself, there's heaven to which not all, but only chosen souls have access. The incomprehensible is the happiness in which the soul will be immersed. Oh my God, oh, how I could describe this, even in a small little degree. Souls are penetrated by His divinity and pass through brightness to brightness and unchanging lights, but never monotonous. Always new, though never changing. O Holy Trinity, make yourself known to souls. So one of the experiences of the Vishnu in Medjugorje, Viska, she is a little boy. Mary brought her to see heaven, and she's having a big space. You can see the people praying and dressing in grey dress or pink or green. They're praying, and then the angels around. The kind of colors is different from the world, but you can feel the calm, the peace in heaven. But also these two kids also, Heavenly Mother let them see purgatory. They can't see people inside, but they can see people is yearning for God, but in darkness still. They need people to pray for them. So that's how we, human beings, we have to live on earth, start to live in His presence. We're so big, so blessed that we have the Blessed Sacrament, that we have Jesus with us. So share this love with Him, all this love with the Blessed Sacrament. And that's how learn to put things in the first place. Let God be the first place in our hearts. Oh my Jesus, nothing is better for the soul than humiliations. In contempt is the secret of happiness. When the soul recognizes that of itself, it is only wretchedness and nothingness, and that whatever it possesses of good is a gift of God. When the soul sees that everything is given it freely, and that only thing it has of itself, its own misery. This is what sustains it in a continued act of humble prostration before the majesty of God. This kind of humility, we are not yearning for things or people, but just the simplicity of heart, and that's how we can have the kind of relationship, the peace with the Lord. And God, seeing the soul in such a disposition, pursues it with His graces. And as the soul continues to immerse itself more deeply into the peace of its nothingness and need, God uses His omnipotence to exalt it. If there is a truly happy soul upon earth, it can only be a truly humble soul. So if we say we don't experience God, that means to say we're not humble enough. Only a humble soul can experience the joy, the peace of the Lord. I think one of the virtues of the practice is humility. Don't take so much people, how much people seeing you, and then let Jesus, as if Jesus on earth, people so many times criticize Him. Even He worked miracles, healing people, and they say, he worked through the devil. The devil gave Him power. You see, everything. But Jesus is always calm, genuine, because He is God Father with Him. We too. All the people doesn't understand us and don't know what to do with us. be peace, at ease. That's humility. Otherwise, well, you to me, you, as you are the center, and people pointing at you all the time. When they point at you, thank you. Because Jesus also pointed by people. But with the same attitude of Jesus. Jesus never revenge. Only praying for. Father, forgive them. Because they know what they are doing. And that's the disposition of Jesus. Nothing else. That's joy with the Father. That's all. Although we live on earth, it's difficult to detach from many things. But at least the disposition to love God, the first thing. Ask this special grace. We don't know how to live it, but at least we can ask this grace. Whatever we ask, you know, will be given. Don't you believe? So ask for this simplicity, humility. I think humility and simplicity is the same thing, I think. What St. Francis, no? Of Assisi. It's poverty. Poverty means humility. Nothing of yourself, of himself. All given. What? Totally given you and given out. At first, one's self-love suffers greatly on this account. But after soul has struggled courageously, God grants it much light by which it sees how wretched and full of deception everything is. God alone is in its heart. You have to practice going through, start again, and then with this strength that God is giving you, gradually the grace to keep this light. A humble soul does not trust itself, but places all its confidence in God. Nothing else. Just hand it over. Jesus, you know me. Jesus, I'm nothing. You are my all. That's a kind of, this kind of practicing, how we practice our humility. We don't know how to deal with people that hate us, that speak evil against us. We don't know how to deal with them. Jesus, you are the Lord. I trust myself. Step by step. Not by one day. But at least you have to decide the will. God is giving all the graces that we need. God defends the humble soul and lets himself into its secrets. And the soul abides in unsurpassable happiness which no one can comprehend. So even people are great against you, you still have the peace. Peace of the Lord. One evening, one of the deceased sisters, who had already visited me a few times, appeared to me. The first time I had seen her, she had been in great suffering. And then gradually, these sufferings had diminished. This time, she was radiant with happiness. And she told me she was already in heaven. She's praying for this soul in purgatory. She told me that God had tried a house with tribulation because Mother General had given in to doubts, not believing what I had said about this soul. And further, as a sign that she only now was in heaven, God would bless our house. Then she came closer to me, embraced me sincerely, and said, I must go now. Understood how closely the three stages of soul's life are bound together. That is to say, life on earth, in purgatory, and in heaven, the communion of saints. I've noticed many things that God tries certain people on account of those things about which he spoke to me. For mistrust displeases Jesus. Once, when I saw that God had tried a certain archbishop because he was opposed to the cause and distrustful of it. I felt sorry for him and pleaded with God for him, and God relieved his suffering. God is very displeased with lack of trust in him. And this is why some souls lose many graces, because they don't trust the Lord. Doubt, only thinking human minds and not in God's sight. Distrust hurts his most sweet heart, which is full of goodness and incomprehensible love for us. A priest should sometimes, let me tell you, a priest should sometimes be distrustful in order to better ascertain the genuineness of gifts bestowed on a giving soul. And when he does so, in order to direct the soul to deeper union with God, his will be a great and incomprehensible reward indeed. But there's a great difference between this and disrespect and distrust of divine graces in the soul, simply because one cannot comprehend and penetrate these things with one's mind. And this latter is displeasing to the Lord. I greatly pity souls who encounter inexperienced priests. So he's saying, what he's saying is that the priest, sometimes they see something special of a person. If all the time this distress, that might be, you know, you have to discern, of course. Some people say they have all the grace of the Lord and telling you all the inspiration from them, not necessarily all the time from Jesus. Sometimes even from evil spirit. So the priest have to discern. He has the grace. If he is a confessor, or by the time he is a spiritual director, he has the grace. But at the same time, it's always distrustful of the Lord's deeds in people. There's another wrong. You know, always not believing is wrong. But always telling people, okay, that's not good either. You have to discern. Once a certain priest asked me to pray for him, that's Father Sopoko. I promised to pray and ask for a mortification. But I received permission for a certain mortification. I felt a great desire to give up all the graces that God's goodness would intend for me that day in favor of the priest, and ask the Lord Jesus to deign to bestow on me all the sufferings and afflictions, both exterior and spiritual, that the priest would have had to suffer during that day. God partially answered my request, and at once all sorts of difficulties and adversities sprang up out of nowhere. So much so that one of the sisters remarked out loud that the Lord Jesus must have a hand in this, because everyone was trying Sister Faustina. The charges made were so groundless that what some sisters put forward, others denied, while I offered all in silence on behalf of the priest. So sometimes you offer yourself for some people, something difficult is coming into your way and don't know what to do. But you say you promise, so you have to go through the passion. That's your passion. But that was not all. I began to experience interior sufferings. First, I was seized by depression and aversion towards the sisters. Then a kind of uncertainty began to trouble me. I could not recollect myself during prayer, and various things would take hold of my mind. When tried out, entered the chapel. Hard life, huh? This is a kind of this is now happened, you know, some things you have to go through. I entered the chapel. A strange pain seized my soul, and I began to weep solve thee. Then I heard in my soul a voice saying, My daughter, why are you weeping? After all, you yourself offered to undertake these sufferings. Know that what you have taken upon yourself for that soul is only a small portion. He is suffering much more. You can imagine, Father Sopo herself took very much. She suffered a little bit, already so difficult. You don't know how to breathe. Go nowhere. Even the chapel is still pain. And I asked the Lord, why are you treating him like that? Father Sopoku. The Lord answered me that it was for the triple crown meant for him, that of virginity, the priesthood, and martyrdom. At that moment, a great joy flooded my soul at the sight of the great glory that is going to be his in heaven. Right away, I said the Te Deum for this special grace of God, namely of learning how God treats those who intends to have close to himself. Thus all sufferings are nothing in comparison with what awaits us in heaven. So God is preparing us for heaven. So some difficulties, some crosses for us you to go through, then you have a pure heart. One day after Mass, I suddenly saw my confessor, Father Sopoku, saying Mass in St. Michael's Church, in front of the picture of the Mother of God. It was at the time of the offertory, and I saw the infant Jesus clinging to him as if fleeing from something and seeking refuge in him. But when the time came for Holy Communion, Jesus disappeared as usual. Suddenly I saw the Blessed Mother who shielded him with her cloak and said, Courage, my son, courage. She said nothing else, which I could not hear. So, baby Jesus, I don't know what the mother Jesus telling his son. Oh, how ardently I desired that every soul would praise your mercy. Happy is the soul that calls upon the mercy of the Lord. It will see that the Lord will defend it as his glory. As he said, and he who would dare fight against God, all you souls, praise the Lord's mercy by trusting in his mercy all your life, and especially at the hour of your death. So trust the divine mercy, especially when you at your deathbed. And say this chapter of divine mercy before the people very sick and dying. And Jesus asks us to say this prayer. Remember, Jesus loves us more than anybody else. He suffers so much for our sake. We don't know. We don't trust. Trust is enough. That's why he saw his wounds. It's not because he just telling, lamenting his suffering, but he's telling how much he loves us. And fear nothing, dear soul. Wherever you are, the greater the sinner, the greater his right to your mercy. Oh, incomprehensible goodness, God is the first to stoop to the sinners. Oh, Jesus, I wish to glorify your mercy on behalf of thousands of souls. I know very well, oh my Jesus, that I am to keep telling souls about your goodness, about your incomprehensible mercy. So this is the job of Apostle Faustina on earth and in heaven. Now today, we invite her to be with us. Strengthen our faith, trust and love God, but also suffer together with Jesus if God permits. You know, you have to love with heart, with the heart of Jesus. The heart of Jesus is always for people. Somebody share the suffering, so lessen the suffering of others. So that's what Faustina is suffering so much on behalf of Father Sopoku. But Jesus telling her only a little portion. Imagine. So when we say we do many things for people, He just does a small, small portion. But you need to listen to the inner voice in you. First of all, try to be in peace with the Lord. Make confessions if you feel you need to do, because one of the messages of our Heavenly Mother is in Medjugorje, at least once a month, make your confession. You can imagine, even 24 hours, you have so many things to confess. I mean, repent. So many things to repent. So much so for a month. And then for half a year, you forgot everything. And that's not a good practice. And I have three mothers, knowing as well, sometimes out lazy, not only you, for priests. If you don't see in the confessional, we say all the excuses, you don't have to confess. That's also this. I have to reflect myself. You know. Anyway, try our best to repent. Live a new life. Only for Jesus, with Him, in Him, through Him, nothing else.